From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Well, good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, and I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, where I am every Saturday between 10 o'clock and noon. Love talking about high school sports here in the Central Valley, in the Central section. We focus on a lot of the main sports, right? Football season was a blast once again. Basketball season, wrestling. You guys know about the Buchanan Bears, number one in the nation. They had the big one, the huge meet against Clovis High on Wednesday, number one in the nation against number 12. I mean, gosh, right here in our own backyard, we have phenomenal athletic teams, great schools, great programs, great coaches, great student athletes as well. I do my show at First String Sports Live. It's also recorded on the website, so you can go back and listen to any episodes. No live stream today on YouTube. We'll get that going next week, but there's a lot of episodes there on YouTube, so you can check those out as well. Again, go back to the website. You can listen to any of the episodes that you may have missed. But I love doing my show here at First String Sports. I do it in the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. They got that cool neon sign, right? Classic. Looks like the 1950s. And these jackets, right, they haven't changed very much over the years. Still have that same style, right? I mean, I still got my Letterman's jacket in the closet, decorated with my Emmanuel stuff. I actually was able to go check out Emmanuel Basketball on CBC last night. I'll get to that in just a second. But, yeah, this is the only place where you can get your Letterman's jacket configured. And it never fails, right? I get here around 9 o'clock when the store opened 9 to 5, Monday through Saturday. And there's people getting their Letterman's jackets fixed up, getting the patches put on, getting the names on the back of the jacket. So Hoover's going to be in the house today looking at their jacket right now. There's Madera to the my left, Clovis North, all the Clovis schools. So this is definitely the place to be on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. So, yeah, I mentioned every Saturday we are here talking about high school sports, and we are right in the middle of basketball season. But before we get into that, my middle daughter's birthday was in December, and it landed on a Saturday, so I got to wish her a happy birthday. And wouldn't you know it, my youngest daughter turning 19 today. So happy birthday to Ruthie. She gets a shout out on her birthday. How fun is that? Yeah, all my daughters are Bullard grads. And Ruthie graduated last year. So yeah, it's a kind of the end of an era for me, not going to Bullard sporting events and seeing my daughters play. But here I am talking about high school sports. So Ruthie, happy birthday to you. We're gonna have a special night tonight. We're actually cooking. She doesn't want to go out to eat, which is saving me a lot of money. I'm happy about that. Anybody listening that's taking their families out for dinner, the prices keep rising. But we're going to be cooking at home, so looking forward to that. On the show today, got some basketball news and notes, some scores, got a little teaser ranking. The playoffs are going to be here before you know it, guys. We're basically halfway through league play. Pretty wild. Crazy. Time moves fast. We're going to have a good mix of talking about basketball. And we got some good guys on the show today. I'm going to go in the way back machine, a little bit of a nostalgia episode as well. I got Tazelle Archie, the Hoover Boys basketball coach. Noah Colton's here too, hanging out here at First String Sports. He's going to jump on. We're going to be talking about the season so far. Hoover's having another solid year. Started the year off at the Clovis West Nike tournament. Got to watch them play there. They're currently 11-7 right now, looking pretty strong in CMAC 2. And the name Tazelle Archie goes a long way, right? If you are a fan of basketball, if you're a basketball junkie like I am, you remember him playing at Hoover, going to Pepperdine for 4 years. That was a huge deal. And he's been a friend of the show, so he's come on, I think, every year since I've had the show. We've touched on this a little bit, but we have not taking a deep dive into his playing days. Did you guys know his senior year, they made it to the Big Dance, the year 2000. And they were the 11th seed, and they played Indiana, the sixth seed, in Buffalo, New York. And they whooped them, demolished them. Go back and just Google that game. They beat them by 20 with a trapping defense, and Coach T was a huge part of that. And the reason why that game was significant, not only because Pepperdine, you know, upset Indiana, it was Bob Knight's last game at Indiana. He got fired 6 months later. So that was the final game, right? Coach Archie was on the court, took care of Indiana. So that's a fun fact. We're going to dive into that. They played Oklahoma State the next game. They actually lost, but he had 14 assists in that one, had 11 against Indiana. So I can't wait to hear some of those stories from Coach Archie. At the top of our number two, we got Clovis girls basketball coach Cooper Steele, two-star seniors Sadie Sin and Yasmin Aguilar, both four-year girls at the school. Hit a huge win last night against Central East. There's now a three-way tie for first place at 4-1 with Clovis West, Clovis High, and then Central East, who beat Clovis West in the first game of track. So they beat them last night 51-47. It was a grind. They were down, I believe, at halftime, and I don't think the spread got more than 5 points. So we're going to hear from Coop and a couple of his star players. Their strength of schedule has been the best in the Central section as far as girls go. They do have 9 losses on the year, but, man, they played all the top teams in the state. Excited to hear from them. And then at the bottom of our number two, I said this is going to be like a nostalgia-type episode. This is a guy that I remember reading about in the Fresno Bee, watching him play at Fresno State, and I've seen him around a lot of high school basketball games. Likes to walk in with some of his old Fresno State buddies and kind of sit in the corner and watch a lot of high school basketball. And that's Dave Barnett. Was a superstar at Edison High School. Graduated in 1986. Played for Gary Colson. Played with Carl Ray Harris, Pat Riddlesprigger, Will Hooker, Todd Bernard. So we're going to chop it up, man. So I'm going to get his perspective on some of his favorite programs to watch in the Central Valley. Talk about his Fresno State days, his Edison days. Remember, this is before, you know, this is just when Clovis High and Clovis West were playing basketball. There were none of the other Clovis schools, but they played the big boys down in South as well. They played the Modern Days, some of those schools. So really excited to talk to Dave, talk about the old times and his experiences playing ball in the 1980s. So I mentioned that I went to the Emmanuel and CBC game last night. So I had a couple choices. I thought I might go to the Clovis West and Clovis North games. But I haven't seen my alma mater play yet this year. And Central Valley Christian having a really good season. So I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm going to take the 45-minute drive down into Reedley on Manning Avenue and check them out for the first time. You know, it's a place that holds a lot of good memories and, you know, really, really started my love of high school sports when I played sports there. I had a great experience. So it was a lot of fun going back. And CBC, you guys know the year that they are having. Coach Josh Bergman was on the show a couple weeks ago. Looking really, really strong this year. They ended up beating Emmanuel 72-39 to move to 19-3 on the season. Coach's son, sophomore Jaden Bergman, he went 6-for-6 at three-point range in the first half. It's only a 7-point game in the first half, but CBC took care of business in the second half. So congrats to CBC on their win. They might sneak in into Division II. Be pretty wild. So, keep an eye on the Cavaliers. On Thursday, Bakersfield Christian High came down and played Bullard at 6:30. It was an early game. No, actually, it was at 7. CMAC games start at 6:30, but that game was at 7. There was a hole in the schedule, and so they're like, hey, let's play. I mean, lots of playoff implications. They're going to do it again next year. Boulder's going to go down to Bakersfield Christian. Bakersfield Christian is a team I hadn't yet seen this season. They had that huge win over San Joaquin Memorial that's going to pay dividend in the playoffs because they're going to hold the tiebreaker over the Panthers. And they look good. I mean, Bullard obviously doesn't have the manpower that they have in the past, especially last year. But, you know, with Coach Abinson, they're going to play super hard. And, Bakersfield Christian, it looked really good. They won 66-50. It was a six-point game. They play a zone defense, as Bakersfield Christian's tough. So they got a big 6'7 kid that they sit in the middle, a couple good guards that are pretty strong. Coach Garrett Brown's doing a great job. You know, they got that state title as well. He's actually going to come on the show next week, so we'll get to know his team a little bit more. But, yeah, Bakersfield Christian probably going to be the 3 seed, maybe the 4, but I'm thinking if they win out, which they should, their league isn't very strong, they're going to be the 3 seed. We're going to be broadcasting the Sam McKean Memorial at Bullard game on Tuesday, Phil Benatti and I, so make sure you guys tune into that, 6:15 pregame, 6:30 tip. I'm going to talk a little bit about Buchanan boys basketball. They actually had a tough one last night. Clovis East had them at halftime by, I think, 32-20. And, Bears, if there's anything that concerns me, their defense is elite. Their offense can go through some struggles. I think they had one game, one of their losses, or have two losses on the year. They scored 8.5 points. So, yeah, they were down to Clovis East, and they had an 18-2 run in the third quarter, pulled away for a 61-49 win to move to 5-0 in the track. We were the broadcaster win against Clovis North on Tuesday, which they won 59-43. Josiah Perry, sophomore transfer from Central, looked really good in that North game, scored 19. They're going to be tough, man. Anything can happen in the second round of track, but I see them being the 2 seed. And St. Joe's is going to be the 1 seed. No doubts there. But Buchanan's got a squad. So if they happen to meet in the championship game like last year, if you guys saw the game last year or heard about it, right, they were overmatched. Absolutely. I mean, Tunde Yesufu was on the team, and that St. Joseph team was a team on a mission for sure. But yeah, Buchanan looking really strong. And I have here some dates I think you guys might be interested in. Like I said, time moves really fast. And playoffs are going to be here. Celand Arena is going to be here before you know it. The brackets for the boys are going to be posted on February 11th already. And the playoff dates are the 13th, 17th, and 19th with the finals at Celand Arena, February 27th through 28th. State and regional finals are going to be March 3rd through the 14th. But yeah, it's going to be here quick. I think that's a Wednesday, right? That the playoff brackets are going to be announced. Yeah, it's a Wednesday. They got to hurry up and get going on Thursday. Same format as last year, and I wasn't a huge fan of it. You know, I don't like the week. I don't like the semifinals being on a Friday and a Saturday, as is the girls with Celand Arena. The following week, I like it on Tuesday and then get ready, right? I also don't like the 1 day or 2 days of preparation you have for that first round in playoffs, but it is what it is. Then the girls are going to be posted. Everything's going to be a day later. So girls will be posted on the 12th, 14th, 18th, and 20th. They are going to be playing their playoff games. All right, we're going to hit the break in just a second, but there's some chatter about two of the highest profiling football programs that are available. They're looking for coaches. That's Clovis High and Clovis West. I want to be sensitive, and I want to do this right, and I don't want to say who's pretty much locked in until we hear official word from Clovis Unified. But I heard they got their guys. One's going to be a pretty obvious choice for those that know, but the other one might surprise some people. So, yeah, I'm going to wait. I think it's going to be a couple weeks before the board meeting at Clovis Unified. They officially announce it. So I'll wait until then. I like to do things the correct way. You know, I'm not TMZ here. But, good stuff there. All right, let's take a break. We got Hoover basketball in that house right now. Really excited for you guys to hear some of Coach T's stories and how the team is doing right now over there in Pate Land. All right, you're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Even before that, USBL, ABA, NBDL.
All right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. We are in the thick of it. We're actually kind of on the home stretch a little bit, halfway through league in basketball. Lots of good stuff going on. Got Coach Archie from Hoover right now. Noah Colton's able to join us as well, doing a great job for them. Got to watch their and broadcast their win against Justin Garza a couple weeks ago. That was a good win for you guys. It outscored the Guardians 29-9, I think, in that fourth quarter to pull away from that one. I talked about how this show's we're gonna have a little go in the Wayback Machine, kind of a nostalgia episode, because Coach Archie's been a friend of the show, friend of mine for the last 4 years while I've had the show, a little bit before that as well, and we've kind of touched on your time playing at Pepperdine, right, playing overseas, but we haven't taken a deep dive, so we're going to do that, Coach. But first of all, good morning, man. You're looking sharp as always. Hoover polo, Hoover sweats, got your gray Nikes on, sweet Letterman's jacket type Hoover there. Always looking sharp, man.
Hey, you know, when you're a coach, you get to kind of dress down and get casual, and I like the sweats look, so greens became my favorite color again since I've been back home to Hoover. So,
Noah, how you doing?
Doing good.
Wait, no game yesterday, right? You played on Thursday?
Yes, sir.
So what'd you do yesterday, Noah?
Full recovery day. Just thinking about the game tonight.
That's right. You guys are playing CBC. I mentioned them earlier in the show. 7:30.
Yeah. Main event.
At Fresno Christian, the main event. Got to watch them play last night against Emmanuel. Pretty strong team, right? The record's not deceiving, right, for CBC. They won 19 games for a reason.
We found some time to watch some film. Definitely a tough team. Won't be any surprises. They got the crafty point guard that can shoot it. Coach's son, I believe. They got a junior forward, 6'4" guy, scrappy, can score from three levels. So no surprises whatsoever. Yeah, definitely a strong team.
Thursday's game against Madera. Kind of walk us through that game a little bit. What was a feeder night for you guys as well, so that's always a cool evening for you guys. Just kind of walk us through that game. What was working against Madera on Thursday?
We kind of threw some different looks defensively at them. We had some we went a little deeper in the rotation. I think they might have been expecting the same, you know, starting five that had been showing up. So we switched it up a little bit and gave them some different looks. And so there was some guys they probably didn't have a whole lot of film on. And so I think we kind of surprised them with that. And then early on, I think our point guard got us going. You know, the guy sitting next to me, you know, he finished with 21, but it was one of his strongest starts of the game. So we've been telling him to, you know, look for his a lot more. And this was the game where he really came out, sparked us early. I think he had 13 points in the first half, carried us. And then from there, you know, we just kept the momentum going.
No, coach has got you play a little more point this year.
Yes, sir.
How you been adjusting to that?
I mean, it's been weird. Because last year I used to play off the ball with Jeremiah Mason, you know, the point guard. But I've been adjusting and adapting to it. And it felt good just to, you know, get back to my normal self last night.
And you know, Coach Archie was a point guard himself. So point guards are always harder on their own point guards, right, Coach? Is that kind of how it is?
You'd have to ask him.
Coach, pretty hard on you, Noah?
Yeah, but, you know, that's what I want it to be. And that's how I like it. So, learning from a great.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you got some players, though, this year, Coach. Let's get into some of these guys. Keon Hill, been watching that guy for years, averaging a little over 16 a game. Michael Harris had that birthday game, right, against Justin Garza, 25, and a monster alley-oop dunk that shook the rim. Premier Olivier is doing what Premier does, right? Mixes it up, does a little bit of everything. So just kind of talk about your squad as a whole this year. What do you like about them?
Definitely the depth that we have. You just named, you know, three guys to go along with the new one we got next to me, Noah. We also have JoJo Vara, who's coming off the bench, who's had multiple games where he's knocked down at minimum three-point shots. We have Omarion Ashford. This is one of our deepest teams that I've had in the 7 years. And it's bearing out in the stats. For league itself, we have four guys scoring over double digits, you know, in the range between 15.5 to 11.5 points a game. One of the ones you were talking about, Michael Harris, he's starting to come into his own, you know, offensively. He's been a defensive stalwart for us for years. He's actually leading us in scoring in league. So that was a surprise. I just looked at the stats. He's averaging almost 16 a game in league, followed by Keon and Noah right behind him, almost 14 a game, and then you got Pamir. So to have four different guys that you know can go out there and you can run the offense through and get a bucket, you know, makes us for a dangerous team. So it's just at this point trying to get the chemistry together, get everybody believing in each other, and I think sky's the limit.
Talk to me about your defensive principles. Again, I'm going back to that game because I saw you with our own eyeballs. You know, you put Michael at the top of the key, long, what's he about, 6'4", right? Long arms, and he's just wreaking havoc at the top. So just kind of go over what you try to do defensively.
Well, you know, that attack kind of started with my first year here when we had A.J. George. For any locals that know A.J. George, he was a 6'5 wing that played the top of our press. And so ever since then, I've been trying to mimic the success we had with that and to be able to find another long athletic wing that could move their feet, guard smaller players, but then, you know, get up and deflect passes. We found one in Michael Harrison. So, you know, the switch is kind of flipped on, you know, for his senior year, and he's definitely the head of the snake when it comes to our defensive pressure and intensity. So we're just going to keep riding it out with him. You know, he's showing and proving that he can play defense at a very high level. If we can get him to match his confidence on the offensive side, I think he has a chance at playing at the next level. But defensively, that's our identity. Get up in the ball handlers, get up in your chest, and we have guys that are buying into that.
How do you think the guy to your left, Coach, has adjusted to C-Mac basketball?
By the looks of, you know, our last game, you know, him finishing with 21 points, it looks like he's adjusting pretty well. Again, early on, there was a little bit of a filling out process from him just because he's such of an unselfish player. You know, I wanted him to be, you know, greedy from day one because I remember playing against him last year when he was at his old school. No, he was a handful then. And, you know, the fact that, you know, I see the ability in him, it was just a matter of time for him to just, you know, decide to kind of take over. And so he's starting to do it now. Couldn't happen at a better time. I think he's already ingratiated himself with the team. But, no, the C-Mac is a level that he's able to compete at. Dominate at times. I want him to believe in himself and go even further.
So the rest of your schedule, just crazy, right? We're already talking about, you know, playoffs and different things like that. At least I am, right? So you got the CVC game tonight at 7:30, Fresno Christian, and you got Edison, Justin Garza, Fresno. Got a Memorial game there. Talk to me about that. So February 5th at Memorial, what are you looking forward to? I know I'm jumping up here in the schedule, but, I mean, that's a powerhouse team, man.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that's something that me and Brad have tried to do, you know, ever since I've been here is schedule a home and away each year. I think every year we played each other, maybe one year we haven't in the last 7 years. And so this year was no different. You know, I was happy to be able to schedule the game a little later in the year so that we'd be able to get some continuity. We have some football guys that weren't possibly going to be available at the beginning of the year, so we both decided to do it on our bye week. I think it's a great litmus test. They're one of the best teams, obviously, in the section, but also in the state. They're a Division I team. I think if we can build some momentum going into that game, that'll give us a great barometer on how serious we are as far as contending for a D2 section championship.
All right. I like hearing that. That's a nice segue into this. You look at this stuff that we're looking at right now, the base divisions and projections, are you just kind of into it? Like, how do you look at this stuff?
I'm not a guru on it. This year has been, you know, I've delved into it a lot deeper than I have in years past. So I am familiar with some of the teams that are, you know, at the top and the teams to look forward to, you know, or as far as who might be in the way of trying to get to Selling Arena, or once you get there and Clovis High looks probably like the cream of the crop when it comes to Division II. I'm seeing a lot of good things from Bakersfield, mm-hmm. and I see their name. But, you know, we're going to play whoever, you know, we end up playing against, because we don't know if you're going to get bumped up, if some of these teams might get bumped up, or another team from a Division III might get bumped up to Division II. You know, I'm not sure about all the permutations. You know, we've moved up in playoffs in the years past. So if things bear out the way they are now, we're looking at Clovis High, Bakersfield probably being the top two seeds. That was something that I had given some thought to about a week ago, because I thought we were in the driver's seat had we took care of business against Fresno High and McLean. We had won 10 out of 11 games. I thought we would have had a chance of maybe jumping Bakersfield for that second seed in Division II. It didn't happen. So now, right, we don't want to harp on it. We're going to play whoever we end up lining up against, and obviously try to run the table until the playoffs happen.
Well, CVC, who you're playing tonight, might be one of those teams that could go. If they win out, they got another game against Kingsburg, they might be bumped up to Division II. So, hey, you might see them again. It's kind of wild. And I know Hanford had a good win against Lemoore last night. I don't know if you saw that, Coach. So I think it was like a 12-point win for the Bullpups in that one. So, yeah, and Mission Prep, right? They've kind of been battle-tested this year. They're the defending D2 champs. Noah, like, has your senior year, like, just kind of been a blur already? Like, I know you transferred in and you're, like, getting used to the team. And now, man, we're already talking about playoffs. So is it just kind of been a whirlwind for you?
Yeah, I mean, whole high school career has been going by pretty fast, especially the senior season. I mean, it's halfway through season already. But, yeah, man, just working towards the ultimate goal, just going to Selling again and getting another ring. So that's what my main focus.
I like it. I like it. All right, Coach, I promise the people, promise the listeners out there, we'd hear some stories. And you're reading over my notes here. And you're like, oh, man, yeah. Oh, yeah, good stuff here, good stuff. Let's go a little high school stuff, all right? That gym back in the day, like, was rocking. And I know HIT was a big thing. And you mentioned you never won the HIT, right? You made it the championship game. Who'd you play in that title? Was that your senior year, junior?
Senior year, made it to the championship game of the HIT. And that's when the HIT was at Fresno City College. So it was even bigger gym, bigger atmosphere. Hoover didn't always host the HIT. That was a section tournament, and it was hosted at Fresno City College. And so we were playing in championship game 94. Wahlberg's led team. Nathan Fast was the guy on that team. We were same year. And we ended up losing a very close game. You know, I had a really good game. You know, I must say, and to the point where at the end of the tournament, you know, they're doing all tournament selections and everybody's kind of excited who's going to get chosen. And they're calling the all tournament teams and my name doesn't get called. And, you know, I got an uncle. He's a you know, fanatic, and he's up in the stands. He's going bonkers.
Everyone's got an unk.
Everyone's got one unk, and he's going crazy. Like, what about Archie? And I'm mortified. I'm looking in the stands like, you know, it's all good. And so they get to the last all-tournament team selection, and they announce Nathan Fast, who obviously played for Clovis West, and they won it. They hadn't announced MVP, and so they go to the MVP, and they called my name. And so my uncle, like, he's losing it. Like, what? You know, we actually lost the tournament, but we were awarded – a player from that team was awarded the MVP. So that was a memorable thing for me. And then once I heard about Jerry West and him being the only guy to get the finals MVP from the losing team – I've always had a little special connection with that. So a little humble brag for my teammates when we start talking. You know, me and Jerry West are the only ones to get MVP. So, but that was just one situation. You know, I've been fortunate, though, as a coach to get those HIT championships. We have two back-to-back thanks mm-hmm. to our players here at Hoover over the last 2 years. So they've avenged me greatly.
You got the MVP, you lost, but now you got it as a coach. You got a couple championships. So after your great career at Hoover, you go to Pepperdine, get that scholarship offer, play 4 years there. 4 years, four coaches.
5 years, four coaches.
5 years, four coaches.
5 years, four coaches. A lot of turnover. Tony Fuller is the one that sat in my mom's house and, you know, I signed the letter of intent. Dan Taylor was there when I signed from, I think, Channel 30.
Oh, all right.
From Channel 30. Yeah. And so things happened throughout that year. You know, we had a tough year. He ended up stepping down from the team 3 hours before we played Santa Clara. This is when they had Steve Nash. They were ranked 24th in the nation. We had a shoot-around. Right after the shoot-around, he comes into the locker room and tells us he's stepping down. The day that we're playing Steve Nash and them, we ended up upsetting them that day. I don't know how it happened. But we only had 7 wins that year. That was one of them. So they brought in Marty Wilson as the interim head coach. So we had him for the rest of that year. We thought he was going to get the job. They ended up, Pepperdine decided on bringing in another guy in, Lorenzo Romar, who was a head assistant at UCLA. They had just won the national championship the year before. So he came in, a whole new set of assistant coaches, a whole new philosophy. He was there a couple of years. Lot of talent, a great recruiter. So got to play with a ton of, you know, All-State, All-Americans, Jelani Gardner, Omar Givens, Tommy Prince, just, I mean, guys are in the league. So great experience. He brought a whole new set of expectations to the campus and so opened my eyes to some things. And then he left, and my senior year we got Jan Van Bredekoff, who I'm just super fond of, came in, complete different, unique take. Again, a whole new set of assistant coaches, whole new philosophy, but we flourished. You know, we flourished under him. He sat us all down, you know, had meetings with us, and after that meeting, you know, he decided that he was going to give me the keys to the team as far as the point guard goes, and I couldn't be more grateful. Learned a ton from him. One of the biggest reasons why I'm in coaching today.
Senior year, pretty special. You guys win league. You go to the big dance, year 2000, March Madness, 11 seed. Go play in Buffalo, New York, if I'm not mistaken. When did you find out you're going to take on the mighty Indiana Hoosiers as the 6th seed? What was that like?
We had won our league outright. That was the first year Gonzaga had lost in a while, so Pepperdine won the league. We lost to Gonzaga, Matt Santangelo and them, Richie Fromm, that senior year in the championship tournament game. So we knew we were going to get in. We didn't know where. And so Selection Sunday, obviously everybody sitting around like we all do. And then once our name comes up, we see, you know, Indiana on the top side, on the 6th seed, and then the 11th. Our name showed up, and we went crazy like everybody does on March Madness. And so we just put a game plan in place right then and there. So we were super excited once we saw our name and to get the chance to play against the general, Bobby Knight.
You guys whooped them 77-57. Read a couple articles about the game. And Indiana was going through some stuff, right? Let's be honest. That was Bob Knight's last game 6 months later. He was no longer the coach at Indiana. But the article said you guys just pressed and trapped, and they weren't ready. So just kind of walk us through that game. What was the mentality like? What were you guys doing, just swarming them?
We were doing what we had did the entire year. We didn't have a new game plan. Obviously, there was a little bit more of a focus on their top player. They had Jared Jeffries that year who went to the league. Neil Reed, I think, had just left. Luke Reckert might have just transferred. They had Michael Lewis, a guard that played pro, and then they had A.J. Guyton, who was an All-American. But fortunate for us, he was a point guard, so it wasn't like he was a 6'10 guy. He was a 6'1 point guard. And so we did kind of a quasi amoeba style defense. A little bit of what we do now here at Hoover with a 1-2-2 four court trap. You try to get the ball back into the inbounder's hands, and you hope that that's a big, especially back then. There wasn't as many stretch bigs. You had a traditional five that took the ball out. And so we try to trap the first pass, get it back to the inbounder, and then he was one-on-one with the top guy. I happen to be the top guy in the press. And so same thing with Fresno State when we played Tarkanian, and they had Courtney Alexander and Melvin Eli and Larry Abney. Same type of thing. We try to get the ball back to the bigs' hands, and then deny everybody else and just leave them on an island with the faster point guard. And so that's what happened with Indiana. We was able to cause some turnovers, frustrate Guyton. Yeah, he had one of his worst shooting games.
He was 0 for 2.
I didn't know it was that bad. I saw the box score.
Because you had 11 assists.
Yeah. Spreading the ball a little bit. It was funny. That was the only team I've ever played with that had four left-handed starters. Besides myself. So I was the only righty. And then we have four left-hand starters. Nick Shepard was a 6'11 big. Kelvin Gibbs, a 6'8 power forward. Tommy Prince, 6'5 two guard. And then Brandon Armstrong was a 6'4 lefty shooting guard who got drafted to the Rockets, I believe. And so, it was easy to kind of spread the wealth. And we had guys knocking down shots or bigs rolling for lobs. And so, we joke all the time that we sent Bobby Knight into retirement because that was his last game for Indiana. But like you said, there was a lot going on over there. I believe they made a 30 for 30 about that year leading up to it. But to his credit, in the post conference, there was some young, reporter there and made some comments about them overlooking us, and if we played them tomorrow, things would be different. And Bobby Knight, in true Bobby Knight form, ripped that guy a new one. And to his credit, he told them they lost to a unbelievably coached and disciplined team that played aggressive, and that Pepperdine team, if we played them 10 times, they beat us 10 times, is what he said. And so, I've always had respect for him. For not using it as an excuse of any or that we snuck up on them. He had did his homework and watched film on us the same way we did him. So it was an unbelievable experience. We were in Buffalo, New York. It was an unbelievable time.
When did you know in the game that you had broken them? Like when they broke their spirit, was there a certain part?
I don't know. We were so locked in and just – having fun. We wanted to just keep doing what we were doing until zeros hit the clock. We were up by 20 throughout, the latter half of the second half. But we kept our eyes on the prize. There was really no showboating or anything. It wasn't like we were veterans of the NCAA tournament. It was our first time being there. We wanted to just finish the game out. So once we got in the locker room, of course, we started talking our smack and, we knew we had them and all this and that. But, no, the respect was there. We shook hands. Nobody did anything crazy because we knew we had a short turnaround before we had to face Eddie Sutton, another Hall of Fame coach, and Doug Gottlieb and Desmond Mason and Adkins and all those guys. Remember it like yesterday. So, we couldn't celebrate too long.
That next game, you guys lost to Oklahoma State. You had 14 assists in that one. So you had yourself, 25-2 assist to turnover ratio as well. So, man, great time in your life, I'm sure. That senior year, you played Fresno State. Is that your game winner? Was that your senior year?
That was my senior year. Yes.
So you came to Cellin Arena.
Came to Cellin Arena.
All right, walk us through that one.
Well, before when I was in high school, Fresno State always played Pepperdine. I remember when Carl Ray Harris was there and Brian Santiago and all those guys, Dominic Young, they always played Pepperdine. And so when I signed at Pepperdine, I was excited to always be able to come home and play or have Fresno State come and play Pepperdine. I didn't know how the contract works, and, I found out that contract had expired, so they no longer had the agreement to play each other. So for my first 4 years at Pepperdine, I never got to come home and play in my backyard, which is what I was always looking forward to signing out of high school. And then going into my senior year, we had the opportunity to sign that contract again to play against Fresno State. And so I was ecstatic. So I knew my senior year I was finally going to get to play against them. We come home. I got 70 tickets. You know, I got all my teammates' tickets. We each get a couple tickets up for the road. I have mine plus coaches. I'm calling in favors. So I had all the Archies and half of Fresno up there ready to root for me. And so I obviously I know all the guys we play in the summer, Melvin Eli, Michi, you know, all those guys. And so Will Farley, great team, Larry, you know. And it's a back and forth game. You got Tarkanian over there biting the towel. It's a close game, and they called my number at the end. We were down one, and Michi's up top guarding me. You know, that's my guy, but you know, I got it. Tell him, you know, gave him my little crossover, went to the hole, the help side came, I threw the floater up, and Melvin Eli goaltended it. And so I knew it was good from the get-go. I start running around the court. I thought it was no time left, but there was 0.6 left. They missed the last shot, so we ended up winning. Yeah, guys, you know, lifting me up. It was kind of a storybook situation. My brother, though, he's a little turncoat. He was going to Fresno State at the time. He was a track athlete on full ride for track. And so he had his Fresno State Letterman's jacket on the whole time while he's sitting up there with my family. I hit the last shot. We win. He takes his jacket off. He has a Pepperdine shirt. So
either way, he was good.
Either way, he was going to win.
Yeah.
So
what was Unk in that?
Know what? The Unk, crazy. Like, he might have been there. He might have been there.
Noah, when you're hearing these stories, man, I see your eyes, man, checking them out, like, get wider, like, oh, man, Coach was a dude. What's going through your mind when you're hearing these stories?
Yeah, it's just crazy. I didn't know he had that kind of backstory. You know, at practice, when we get a couple, like, water breaks in, he, you know, shoots around a little bit. He's been airballing a couple times. But, yeah, you know, it's just crazy.
He's a good player, man. We got a couple minutes here with Coach Archie, and you had a game-winning three-pointer against Northwestern as well. What do you remember about that play?
That was in Chicago. We played Northwestern. Again, we enjoyed all the spoils of being college athletes, and so we got there early. Me and a couple of the guys went out on the town, and we went, you know, hanging out. And have ran into some people and met some new friends in Chicago. And
eating pizza, right? Eating pizza.
There you go.
There you go.
And we invited them to the game.
All right.
And so they showed up with a bunch of their rowdy friends. And Northwestern's a huge college town. And so, it was a close game. Matter of fact, I think that was the only shot I did hit. You know, I had a horrible game. Like, we had a little bit too much fun the night before. And so I think it was tied and rocked the guy to sleep up top and pulled a three. And with no time on the clock, we hit it. And at the end of the year banquet, there's highlights of all the, you know, the highlights. And when that one came up, we just died laughing because you see me hit the shot. And then you see me take off running, then I'm out of the frame, and then second later I'm coming back the other way. The whole team mobbed us. It was a great, great feeling. Great feeling.
Good stuff. Coach Archie, just give us some last minute things about this year's team. What do you love about coaching at your alma mater? Sometimes you probably have to pinch yourself, right, just how fortunate you are. It's a blessing, right, to be back at your alma mater and pour into the young lives of so many young men, but just how neat of an experience is it for you?
I mean, it's my why. You know, I've talked about it in the past. It's something that I would do for free. It's something that, you know, most coaches do for free anyways. If you're a people person and you love giving back, you do it anyways. And I've been doing it my whole life with nephews and cousins and my own kids, just pouring into youngsters. So to be able to actually get paid to do it. We don't get paid a lot, but that to be your job, to every day have the opportunity to impact young lives the way, you know, yours was impacted at that age is a blessing. It's really full circle. Today we're playing against CVC, and on their staff is my old coach, Coach Moore, Ron Moore. So, I mean, he's a guy who's been a mentor to me since I was, you know, 14 years old, and now here I am, 48, and getting to coach against him for my high school that I went to. You're right. It is a dream come true. You know, don't tell my players. You know, they hear me barking and yelling, you know, all day. But I it's not another place I'd rather be, another job I'd rather be doing. I look forward to every day waking up and trying to not necessarily coach the perfect game, but get everything, put the right pieces in place, say the right things that motivate them. To where they play the perfect game. And that's the goal every single day we wake up. We've had it in spurts. We've played, you know, perfect quarters, you know, quote unquote. That Garza fourth quarter was one of them where the ball's moving, help side defenses there, shell principles. It's a next man mentality. So to try to get that for four quarters is the goal every time we get on the court. And every day we get to wake up, we try to instill that in practice. And so just having these guys be you know, teachable in the classroom, coachable on the court, you know, I love it. So it definitely is a dream come true.
Always enjoy having you on, man. Appreciate you, Coach Archie, as always. Good luck tonight, Noah. Good to see you as well. We're going to take a break. We got Clovis girls basketball here at First String Sports on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. If you missed any part of the episodes, go to 1430ESPNFresno.com under podcast. Boom, it's right there. Go back and listen to any episodes or the first hour of the show. It's had some great stories I heard from Coach Tazelle Archie at Hoover High School. Man, he could tell a good story. That was fantastic. You know, senior year at Pepperdine, put Bobby Knight into retirement, so to speak, right? His Pepperdine Waves beat them by 20. Great stuff, man. I love the nostalgia of the Central Valley. We got a lot of great players and coaches and just great basketball here, and we love to talk about it. And right now we got Clovis High girls basketball, a couple star players, a couple star seniors in the house, along with Coach Cooper. Sadie Sin is here, and Yasmin Aguilar as well. And a big win last night against Central East. We're going to chop that up in just a second. But Coop, what one of the things I appreciate about you is we tried to get you on last week, it didn't work out. You said, hey, how about next week? And then I looked at the schedule, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is the week of Clovis West and Central East, and you still said yes, right? You're like, I'm going to come on, even if we would have lost both games, but you split them. So I appreciate that about you, man. Come on and talk about your team, win or lose. I love it. So first of all, thanks for coming. Sadie, Yasmin, this is your first time on the show. I've watched you guys play basketball for the last 4 years, so excited to hear your stories as well. Coach, just walk us through last night's game. You were texting a little bit last night. You said it was an absolute grind. I saw the halftime score. You guys were down. You guys pulled out the four-point win. Just kind of walk us through maybe even the game plan. You know, Central East had that big win against Clovis West. So game plan-wise and how you executed it.
Yeah, we knew we'd have to adjust. Well, they're so long. They do a good job defensively. They switch everything. They gap hard. So you have to be able to adjust, and that was one of our key points. Adjust to things. You know, we're going to try to run our offense, but you're going to have to make decisions and make adjustments. And they did a really good job. There was a lot of times in the fourth quarter we're not even calling sets. We're just playing, you know, get to spots, play, make decisions, make adjustments, and the girls did well. We did not shoot it very well at all. We made 1 3, and that was a bank three. So, you know, going to Central, not – making 1 3, that's kind of a recipe for bad things, but we really grinded it out. It was really gritty win, and rebounding, defense, good shot selection late. That's how we got done. A couple free throws here from Sadie.
Okay, so walk us through the last, what'd you say, the there's like a minute that just flew by late in the game, but how'd you guys take the lead and seal it?
Yeah, so we got a big stop. We were tied, got a stop at 37 all, came down and took almost the whole shot clock, like I said, being in spots, got a couple looks, you know, maybe could have been a good shot, but we stayed poised, stayed patient. Millie Rojas got 2 feet in the key and made a great move, kind of a looked one way and went the other and bank off the glass, and then came down and they took the full 32, and we Amiya Walters got a rebound, and they fouled her. And what was nice is we went right into our sideline play to get Sadie the ball without a timeout. And, you know, doesn't give them a chance to tell them to deny Sadie or whatever. So we got the ball to Sadie, 2 free throws, went up 4, and that was that.
Money, automatic. Right, with Sadie.
Automatic.
Sadie, just how about for you? Playing in a big game in a big crowd and against a tough defense isn't a big thing for you anymore. You've got a lot of experience. What was kind of going through your mind late in the game? Are you just playing basketball? Are you trying to get to spots? Like, what's the main thing running through your mind?
Really, I'm just playing really hard with my, like, girls on the court that I've had, like, relationships for a really long time. So I knew it was important for me to be poised as the point guard and a leader on the team and on the court so that energy went to them as well. So I think just playing like that kind of helped the outcome of the game.
7 seconds left. You step to the line up to, right, making one free throw, right? You still get a chance, right? If you miss it, they could come down and hit a three to tie it. What's going through your mind during that is just like, hey, this ain't no big thing. I could shoot 15-foot free throws with my eyes closed.
It's definitely nerve-wracking, but I've been in multiple situations like that before, specifically at Central, and sometimes it didn't go the way it did, so I knew I was ready to be in that position, so, yeah.
Yasmin, how did you feel like the game played out?
I think it was good overall. I think we fought to the very end. It was going back and forth most of the time, but we pulled through at the end.
Was there a key play? I know there might not have been necessarily. I mean, Millie's shot, obviously, and your free throws, but I don't know, maybe even when there's like a 5-point game, you guys are down. Maybe you guys got a big stop that maybe they could have gone up 7 or 8. I don't know. Was there a certain player like, man, this is looking back, this was one of the key plays in the game?
I think we're consistent most of the game, but I think it really came down to defense. Yasmin had a lot of rips and steals, and she got she forced a turnover on one of Central's players that kind of helped bring the energy and kind of like shifted the energy towards the game. So,
Coach Coop, what do you think this win meant? Right, play Clovis West on Tuesday. You know, the two toughest games in league are going to be in the same week. But after the game, like, what's kind of your prevailing thought about the win?
Well, just that we could pull through when things aren't necessarily going our way. You know, like I said, we had one starter out. Jada Walton's got a soreness going on, and we don't shoot it well, and you just think you're gonna come away with a loss at with all that, and to be able to grind it out and get the win is big time. And you know, we're still waiting for that game where we shoot the lights out, and when it comes, we're gonna be in a good spot. But you know, and last week we played Cardinal Newman, is the same thing, just an absolute grinder that we won. It'd be real easy to look back on both of those and be like, well, this didn't go our way, that didn't go our way, but we won both, and that was big.
Strength of schedule, you guys have the highest one looking at the max preps. I mean, look at these teams that you guys have played this year. St. Mary's, Archbishop Mitty, Ontario Christian. What's kind of your thinking, first of all? Were any of those games tournament games, or were those all pre-planned?
Those were all pre-planned, and we also had San Ramon Valley in there, who's very good. We played in a tournament. We played the number one team in Hawaii, Kamehameha. We've played the number one team in Colorado at the TOC. And then we also played Centennial of Las Vegas, who's always a powerhouse. So, yeah, it's been fun.
It's been fun. So let's go back to your reasoning. I mean, this team obviously is a team that you've been building for a while, especially with the two girls sitting to your left. But what was kind of your reasoning? Like, hey, iron sharpens iron. We want to play against the best. What was your reasoning behind that?
Well, you know, I grew up a huge Pat Hill fan, so I would say it started there with anybody, anytime, anywhere. But, what goes with it is our expectation. That's how we see ourselves. That's how much I believe in them, and I want them to see how good they can be. And it starts like that. If I'm not willing to go play the best, then, you know, how can we think of ourselves as one of the best? So go find the best, and you step up. You know, I don't think it helps us to play teams who aren't the best. That's what we want to be.
Girls, when you saw who was on your schedule, did you think coach was crazy, or like, yeah, let's bring it on, let's do it?
I think at first we were like, Coop, are you sure? But playing those games really put us in really good positions, mentally mainly. I think we performed very well, and we played really hard against those teams that kind of showed us that we can compete with anybody, like especially playing Ontario Christian and Archbishop Mitty going into halftime only being down like 10-8. Like, that really shows that we can compete with anybody.
Yasmeen, what about for you? Like, when you're going against some of that tough competition, like, how does that prepare you for the rest of the season?
Honestly, I think it's like, I think it helped us, again, with mindset. It shows us that we could play with whoever, no matter the state, and throughout all California. So.
Coop, let's talk about these two girls, what they bring to the court, what they mean to the program as well. Let's start with Sadie. Like, just talk about her athleticism, you know, coming in as a freshman and you kind of giving her the keys right away. It's not every day that you see that, but how has she grown, and what have you seen in her that you just really appreciate?
Well, she's, I mean, you couldn't ask for more from a player. You know, she's I've called her the best player, basketball player I've ever seen, pound for pound. You know, she does it all. She does everything. You know, she's talking about big free throws. She hit a free throw to take the lead and win against Clovis West on Clovis West floor as a freshman. So we've believed in her since then. We've seen her since she was a little one, a little fifth grader running around.
Which is going on right now, right? At Clovis
exactly.
High.
Got yep, your, yep. Yeah, we little kooks. With her. Yep. No, she's incredible. She's point guard, and it's fun to not have to worry about that part of the game because you know it's covered. So can't say enough about Sadie.
Has there been a specific moment, Coop, with her, watching her on the court, that's just like, oh, that's Sadie? I mean, what a valuable piece. Maybe a certain play. You mentioned that free throw against Clovis West her freshman year. But has there been a specific moment, maybe even a practice, that you've been like, oh, man, what a special player?
Yeah, it was before she even played for us. In eighth grade, she was still an eighth grader, and we took our varsity team down to scrimmage and go after them. And, you know, the first play, Sadie hit an open three. So our varsity's losing to our eighth grade team by three. And then so, you know, we said, all right, push up on Sadie. And she calmly called for a ball screen, got the ball screen, stepped back, hit another three. So our eighth graders were up 6-0. I was like, oh, yeah, that's my starting point guard for the next 4 years. So that was that moment. There's been plenty on the court. I think of when we came roaring back against St. Joe's her freshman year. She scored 8 straight points as a freshman and wanted the ball, took the ball, pulled up a couple shots. I was like, oh, nailed him. And it was just like, yeah, she belongs here. She's going to be big time. So
she's the real deal. What about Yasmeen over there?
Yes. Well, in that same game, when we won that game against C-Dub, Yas hit the three to put us up. You know, and we always talk about that shot because Devin Miller, who was a senior in our shooter, everyone would have been okay with her taking that, even though she was kind of contested. But without a second thought, she swung the ball to Yaz, who took a very confident three and nailed it and put us up two. So once she did that, and before that, I mean, we moved her into the starting lineup about 10 games in her freshman year and, you know, haven't moved her out since. So Yaz has been great. She's really improved her defense and wanting to guard better players and step up and be more of a leader defensively.
Yaz, what's your favorite spot on the court to shoot a three? Is it the corner three? I've seen you hit a few of those.
I shoot a lot right there. I think, I don't know, I think I prefer more of a wing, but, I mean, the corner's there. Corner's there.
Corner's there? Yeah. Right side, left side. You like the right side?
Probably right side, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. That left side, the corner three from a righty is tough, isn't it?
Tough, yeah.
It's a tough shot. Sadie, what about for you? You have a favorite move? You got a crossover? Like, what do you like to display on the court? What's your favorite?
My go-to is mainly a crossover, like a drop cross. But I think I've, like, really developed my game throughout the 4 years, and I've kind of turned those points into, like, mid-range using the backboard. Shout out to my dad. He's always telling me about that. But, yeah, but I've been practicing that a lot So
mid-range, what's that stuff? You never hear about that much anymore. Sadie, has the your 4 years gone by really fast for you? Here you are sitting your senior year. You're on the home stretch of your senior season. Like, just talk about your whole experience and how fast it's gone.
When people say it goes by fast, they're definitely not lying. I swear I was a freshman just yesterday, playing with the five seniors, being an underclassman and all that stuff. But it's just been a really good 4 years. I've had a lot of fun with the girls, basically my best friends for life. And just want to have one good last season with everybody.
Are you a big goal person? You said goals for yourself at the beginning of the year. You're just like, oh man, I'm just going to play as hard as I can.
Play as hard as I can and just have fun for my last year and really make the most out of it with since it'll be my last year playing with those girls.
Next year, what does next year look like? College plans, you've signed already, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going?
Long Beach State.
Long Beach State. All right, so walk us through that. Was that a tough process for you, right? Like college coaches, contacting you and you're trying to figure things out, going on a few visits, talking to other people. Was that a difficult process for you, or did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. I'd say it was a little overwhelming at times, talking to different coaches every day. But I think that kind of helped me with the way that I talk with people now. Kind of got out of my comfort zone a little bit. But ultimately, Long Beach State was the one. I remember first phone call, we were at, where were we? Red Robin. After a game. And Coop called me outside, and I talked to the assistant coach, and then that's when she offered me. And then they've basically just stuck with me, for as long as, till now still. And they kept in contact. They kept checking in and all that stuff. And ultimately doing more research, they kind of have a similar playing style to how we play here at Clovis High. So it was just a good fit.
Well, when was the exact moment when you said, yes, this is the place? Were you talking with your family about it? I want to go there?
The recruiting process it's tricky because obviously the schools are recruiting other girls, so it's if they commit, your spot is gone. So I took an official visit, and I think 2 or 3 days later I talked with my family, and we're there's no cons of the school. It feels good, it feels right. So as soon as we're okay, call her, I went to go call the head coach, and then I told her, and then turns out another girl in my class committed, so we're gonna be teammates, and it's really exciting.
That's great. Coop, were you getting a lot of calls, texts about Sadie? What was it like for you as the coach?
Yeah, it was awesome because I had never really been through that. A couple players in the past, but nothing like that where multiple D1s are calling. And yeah, I'll never forget sitting outside Red Robin with little Sadie, and she was pretty shy. I had to kind of prompt her to speak up to the coach. But yeah, when they offered her, that was pretty cool. We were kind of celebrating out there.
And you're literally going to Long Beach. Literally. That's awesome, right? I mean, I'm just talking about the beach, right?
Yeah.
The beach part. That's cool. Yaz, what about for you? You're going to try to play in college or future for you? What's that look like?
I'm attending Concordia University in Irvine.
Why did I forget that? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I should have known better. Okay, so how did that go? I mean, what do you love about Concordia?
I love the environment. So it's a private school. There's a lot of connections there. The team is amazing. Personality is great. And I don't know, when I was there, when I go visit, it was a great experience. Team welcomed me. It just felt like home.
Felt like home. Yeah. Another beach school, mm-hmm. Right? Man, look at your girls. Go to the beach. That's awesome. We'll talk more about you guys playing together for 4 years, the synergy that you have. Has that come natural for you on the court? You know where each other is at, even defensively, right? Offensively, right? I'm sure you got that chemistry going, but defensively as well. How do you guys feel about playing with each other on the court? How does that feel? Is it just super natural?
No, it definitely is. Goes back to our rec days in fifth grade. Her dad recruited me to go play with Storm at Clovis High. That's basically how it started, and then we've been playing with each other ever since, and then that kind of just built that trust within us. And then on the court, I just know where she is, she knows where I am. Defense, we communicate, all that stuff, and if we ever have a miscommunication, we always talk to each other like talk about what we need to fix, and it's easy.
And you feed her a lot of threes, huh? So you got to, you got to give Sadie a lot of credit, right?
All the time. All the time.
When did you guys first meet? Like you mentioned, what, in AAU stuff?
We started playing with each other, I think, fifth grade. I, like, knew about her, I think, probably fourth grade or something like that. But, yeah, we've been playing each other for 8 years now.
Did you guys go to the same elementary school or different
schools? Different elementary. Went to the same middle school.
Okay. I'm curious to coach about what's something quirky about this team. I'm going to ask the girls the same question. Well, like, you guys have something that, like a ritual or a favorite song that hypes you up. I don't know. Is there what's quirky about this team or fun?
I'll tell you what's quirky is their favorite game to play is a vocal word scrabble game. We're sitting at lunch the other day, and they're like, okay, I'm thinking of a word that starts with an A and ends with an E, and it's four syllables. I'm like, you guys are fun. I don't remember doing that with my teammates. And they love it. They've been playing it for 2 months, and they're pretty intelligent words, too. I'm pretty impressed.
Who started that game?
I think she did, Sadie.
I did, because I started with my family, and then it started in Arizona with, like, a couple girls, and then it just, like, we just kept asking everybody, and everyone was like, wait, I want to know what you said, and then it kind of just became a team thing.
That's fun. Favorite food? You guys have, like, a pregame meal that you're like, oh, man, this is on point?
Not really, but...
Pasta? No?
They love when I take them to sandwiches 3 days in a row for
10 minutes. Yeah, we go to sandwiches all the time.
They love it.
Are you being serious on that? A sense a little? Yeah?
Sandwiches? When we go travel, like tournaments, we'll go have sandwiches.
Okay.
When we're at tournaments, all right, we're going to go grab sandwiches for lunch, and I get a lot of sandwiches.
Yeah, okay, there it is.
Another sandwich.
All right, the sarcasm.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Yeah, I saw that in your eyes. I wasn't... sandwiches, okay. Last year, you guys were so close in beating Clovis West and ending the streak. How have you used that, Coach? Have you flushed it? Is it a motivator? Do you even speak of it? I'm just curious, like, the mindset going into the year and then now the final push to get there again.
Yeah, what I would say, the only thing we talk about is how we got down. I mean, we were down 19-2 in that game. You know, and we talk a lot. You can't do that against great teams and great programs like West, and that's what hurt us. So we talk a lot about that as, you know, if we're having a bad practice, we can't afford this. We cannot afford to get down early and try to come back. We can't take plays off or you know, not execute at all. When you're on the court, you have to do your job at all times.
So. Girls, what about for you? Is that just like a bad memory, a distant memory? How have you framed, like, motivating for this year?
It's definitely a motivator. I think that we came so close last year. That just shows that we can get even closer this year and hopefully take that number one spot. But, I mean, West is a very skilled team, very well coached, so it's not going to be easy. But we know if we put in enough hard work and focus and practice, we can do it.
The time and the work that you guys have put in to this final stretch, Coop, what's it going to take to play at your highest level, right? You mentioned you guys grinded it through last night's game, right? Not every game you guys are going to go 50% from three-point range and, you know, have only five turnovers, right? That's not going to be every game. But what is going to be, like, the final push and focus to the end of the year?
Yeah, just keeping everyone focused. Like you said, we have 19 players on varsity, you know, and that's been amazing, and it really helps us with scout teams and stuff like that. And the girls are awesome about getting in and taking advantage of their opportunities. But keeping that going, keeping everybody engaged and locked in on the details and focused at practice. It's hard with that many bodies. It's hard to not chitter chatter on the baseline when we're focused on a wrinkle for Central. So just focus, I think. Focused and you know, second round of track, everybody knows everything about each other, so there's no secrets. So you have to be focused on the little details and the little wrinkles we're going to put in.
Second round of track. Looks like you guys are starting home Buchanan, home North. Got that St. Joseph game at 8 o'clock, late game on the 31st. And then at East, at West, and then home against Central East as well. So, Coop, I promised a little bit of nostalgia time with all of my guests. So I knew you were a hooper as well. You know Coach is a hooper, right?
Mm-hmm.
played had some time at Reedley College.
Yeah.
What are some good memories you have playing there? You had some. You were on some pretty good teams.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel a little.
07, 08?
07, 08. Okay. I feel a little goofy following Coach Archie talking about knocking out Bobby Knight. But hey. No, it was great. I loved my teams there. I'm still really close with a lot of those guys. I'm still really close with Coach Fonseca, who recruited me over there, and we're still close. He'll come to practice. He'll come and talk to the girls. I'm still close with the whole staff. Coach Hoyt has a powerhouse up at Columbia Junior College now, the men's side. He's a phenomenal coach. And Coach Gonzo, I see him quite a bit. He's on the girls' side at Reedley now. I'm actually going to go watch them play tonight against Fresno City. So, yeah, it's amazing experience, and I learned a lot from those three. Still very close to a lot of the guys. Justin Ayers coaches at Edison now, and he does a good job, and it's fun catching up. He'll come to games, and I'll go watch him when I can. It's an awesome opportunity, and I love those guys over there.
Awesome. Good stuff. Hey, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Good stories. You guys have been fun to watch over your 4 years, so good to have you on the show and hear your stories as well. Good luck the rest of the year, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, thank you
Paul. For having us.
You bet. All right, let's take a break. Dave Barnett's coming on. I hope he's here. I haven't seen him yet, but we're going to get some more stories. Hit the Wayback Machine. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back, Central Valley Sports Report. Good talk. Yasmin, got to make sure I say Yasmin Aguilar, and Sadie Sin, phenomenal basketball players for Clovis High. Coach Coop does an amazing job there. 4-1, Clovis West, Central East, and Clovis. That second round of track is going to be an absolute battle for a track title, and then playoffs begin. Dave Barnett, man, I'm excited for this interview. Known about Dave, man, back in the days, obviously reading about him from those Edison days in the Fresno Bee, and then his time at Fresno State. And, I'd see him at games the last 5-6 years and walking in his shorts and with his crew, his sweatshirts, goes and finds his little spot up there and watch his game. So I finally got the courage and, hey, Dave, what's up? And I saw you in Las Vegas at one time, yeah, too, with Pat, right? Mm-hmm. And so we chopped it up a bit. And, just an absolute basketball junkie. Thanks for coming on, man, to First String Sports. This is cool, right? This Letterman's jacket,
yes,
room?
Yes, this is cool. Thanks for having me. This is real nice. I like this. I don't even know where my Letterman's jacket at, but yes.
You got a lot of patches, too, I'm sure,
yes,
right? It's decorated.
I misplaced it.
Last night, you let's talk about your perspective, right, of going to the Buchanan-Clovis East game last night, the boys' game, where East was up, 32-20 at half, and then Buchanan then comes back, roars back. What was your analysis of the game?
First half and second half differences. Clovis East came out with the fire because they're at home, made some big plays, penetrating to the basket and everything. And then at that time, first half, Buchanan wasn't shooting the ball well. They scored the first, I think, probably first 6-7 points, and that was it for them. Then they ended up with 20 points. But the second half, Buchanan picked it up. Their defense picked it up. You got a couple players hit a couple threes, DeMamie and Perry. And, they still have the point guard. Patton always controls the whole situation. And he played better much in the second half than he did the first half. But don't take nothing away from Clovis East. They played hard. They stopped what they were doing in the first half. And the second half, they just got sluggish because Buchanan picked up a defense.
And with these types of teams, you see it with Clovis North, you saw it with Clovis West, with Wahlberg. A lot of it is dependent. You got to get to the hole, and you got to score in the key, or you got to kick and make threes. And if either of that's not working, you're in a whole lot of trouble, right?
Yes, and that's what the Unified of Clovis does. The schools does the penetration and kick out. Bullard High School does that too. But the thing is, when you do that, you got to have the point guard, you got to have the shooter, and you got to have a big man. Right now in the Valley, you don't have too many of those right now. you know, you have people that want to shoot, but there's got to have consistency. Back in the days, Clovis West perfected it, and that's how they won so many championships or won so many games, because they perfected it. A lot of schools trying to do it, but you, like you said, you got to have the players to do that with. Yes, you hit 1 3, 2 threes, can you do it the whole game?
Who are some of the programs, Dave, that you absolutely love? Like, for you, has been much, you know, must watch basketball.
Right now, I watch everybody. You know, I go sees from Tulare on down to Merced. I go watch games. I just like to see, because, like, I got a lot of friends and kids are playing, and I don't want nobody to say, oh, you didn't see my kid play, or, you know. So I goes and watch everybody. I don't say much. I just say, if you come and ask me how my son play, I said, I'm always going to say they played okay. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell a parent their kid is not this and not that. That's not for me to say that. But if they ask me what my kid need to work on, I would tell them that. You know, so, but other than that, I go everywhere. Boys, girls, wrestling, tennis, I go everywhere. You know, I'm upset I missed that Buchanan and Clovis,
right?
Wrestling.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
But I goes to whatever. I try to go to everything. You know, my work schedules, you know, it's going to be different a little bit now. I just retired. So it's going to be different now. I can get out and go watch everything now.
Is your sleep adjusted? I know you
not
work
yet.
At night. Not
yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
All right.
Not yet. I'm working on it. I just did it this last past Friday. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. The new era of life for Dave Barnett. I want to talk about your days. So I mentioned, you know, your class of 86, right, of Edison?
Yes.
You know, reading about you in the paper and following your career, and just, you know, I played in the late 80s as well, a little bit after you, but. What was basketball like for you, Edison, and just the surrounding areas in the 80s? Just let people know what basketball was like back then.
Fun. First thing, fun, but hard. Coming from, you know, West Fresno, went to Edison High School. Back in them days, Edison was the Mecca. You know, you have athletes over there. You know, it's just not Dave Barnett. It's Andre Sims, Charles Ross, it's Tyrone Smith, it's Steve McLaughlin, Curtis. It's so many players you can say, you know, at that time when I played. And before that, you know, it's the Tim McDonalds, the Howard Leds, the, you know, it's just everything. Bruce Bowen, you know what I'm saying? You can't leave him out, you know. So it's a premier dominant culture back in them days. You know, right now we don't have that, but I think eventually gonna get back to it once the how can I say, the CIF get a hold of everything. Mm-hmm. but right now it was fun, tough, but sometimes what I mean by tough, practice was tough.
You guys beat each other up
because everybody want to play, you know. The games, it was too easy. Only tough game I probably had was against Bullard High School in the Valley, the NYL Championship. But everybody else, we probably easily beat by double digits. And I mean 20s, 30s.
But you played, looking back at some of your scores, though, you played modern day. You played the big boys, too.
Yes.
What were some stories about that, like when you played against those dudes?
It was athletic, and we weren't used to that in this valley. We were the only athletic team, you know. And then we went down there and played against the Crenshaws, the Modern Days, the Fairfax. We held our own championship in the state finals in 86. Crenshaw, number one in the nation. They beat us pretty badly. But at the first quarter, though, we gave them who we are. And then things changed, I think, because we was in a big bright, the lights and everything. Back then, they had, you know, everybody, you know, like I say, L.A., Southern California have all the good athletes and stuff like that. So when we went down there, we used to beat on everybody. But then we saw them, we like, whoa, They 6'8", they 6'9", you know, the guard 6'5", we 6'1", 6 feet, and we like, ooh, you know, so we wasn't used to it. And back then, AAU wasn't like it is now.
Yeah.
Get to play against everybody. Back then, they only certain people played AAU. So, you know, it was a good time back in the days in the 80s. Good time.
You had a lot of pickup games late at night. You're playing games under the lights like 11. Was that a thing back then on the west side?
No, you had to be in a house because, you know, I ain't going to, you know, say too many things on, you know, air about, the, you know, violence. So you played a lot, but about time 7, 8 o'clock, you got to be in the house. You know, that's parents' rules. But at that time you had everybody spending the night over each other's houses back then. So you get to talk, you get to say this, say that, and stuff like that. But it was different. Like I said, I won't change it for nothing.
What was the wildest or craziest game, like maybe atmosphere at Edison? Because I heard some stories there at Edison. Is there one thing that pops into your mind?
The best game is 1985 Fairfax. They came down here before we played Crenshaw for the state championship. We had to play them. And Fairfax had three All-Americans. Sean Higgins went to Michigan, played pros for a while. They had one player went to Kentucky. I can't think of his name. But that was at McLean High School. That was
in that original gym?
Yes.
Right there?
Yes, the original gym.
And that place gets loud. Was it loud back then?
Loud. It was sold out before the week happened because they knew Fairfax was coming. Because Fairfax, I figure, probably was the most athletic team even over Crenshaw to me back then. But Crenshaw still had, you know, the dominance of the players. But that was the most exciting game, I think, in my high school career is Fairfax.
How'd you do in that game?
We won.
How'd you do?
I think I probably led both teams in scoring. Probably had 22, 24. But it wasn't that. It was just who Fairfax was and who they had coming in. And one of my players on my team, point guard Andre Sims,
yeah,
knew some of them players. And we looking at him like, how do you know these players? Yeah, how you know this? You always with us. You know, why we don't know them, you know. But Andre played in the camp with some of the players, and that's how we knew what was going on with some of the players. But that was the best fun game ever in my life right there, Fairfax.
Up and down? Was it a game in the 90s or what?
Probably 70s, 80s. Yeah, it was up and down. It was just showcasing some talent.
You do your thing, I'll show you what I can do kind of thing?
Sean Higgins, 6'8", guard, not a forward. Not a center. You know, back in them days, 6'8", played in the post. No, he played guard. And we got to hold him at 6 feet. And he was doing things that you don't see a high school kid do. But we was us, Edison, Steve McLaughlin, Rudy Harvey, Curtis Whittle. We hung in there and beat him. You know, we beat him easily. And that was a good thing. That was the most exciting thing game in my life.
Then you go to junior college after that.
Yes.
You have some options.
Yes, I had options. I went to Fresno City because of my SAT scores. You know, I tell people, you know, that's just important. I didn't take anything important serious at that time. I had people know me from basketball, but people that know me from sports in title is, you know, baseball. You know, I was a football quarterback for 3 years. So I had options to go to college like Utah State, you know, and stuff like that. It just, at that time, I wasn't really thinking about nothing. I was just having fun. But once I got to city with Coach John Termasian, he taught me a couple things, and I went from there.
Second leading scorer in the state, if I'm not wrong?
Yes. You're behind.
Who got you?
The number one player, I think, came out of JC, Cedric Sabalas.
Oh.
Yes.
Famous for his dunks. Suns, Lakers. He had that, what, blindfolded dunk?
Dunk contest, yes.
Dunk contest.
Yes. I think I averaged 26, and he averaged like 27.
Yes. You never matched up against each other?
Yes, we beat him.
You did?
Yes,
you got him.
Yes, right. yes. We beat him. He went to Ventura College, and we beat them, you know. But then when I got to Fresno State, he played at Fullerton mm-hmm. with Bruce Bowen and Mark Hill. And he came up to me. Well, Bruce knew who I was because Bruce was my – we played together back in the days, you know. But they didn't remember me because, you know, cut my hair, looking different on film. So when Bruce told him who I was, and Sabala sat there and said, man, I think I played against him, man. All you do is shoot, and talk smack. And so when we played against Fullerton, I had a bad game. And Sabala came up to me and sat there and said, now I'm one up. I said, oh, okay. So when they came back to Fresno State and played against us at Fresno State, I think I had 5 threes and we won. I said, now I'm back one up. And so he said, good job, man. Hey, keep it up. You know, just shook hands and moved on. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Fresno State, good days, right? So you played 2 years there, your senior year. A team that I absolutely loved, Todd Bernard, Will Hooker, Carl Ray, of course, and then Pat Riddlesprigger under Coach Colson. Like, obviously, you probably didn't get as many wins as you had hoped, but that experience playing with those dudes, those are your guys for life, right?
Yes, they're my guys for life. Everybody know Pat, Will, Carl Ray, Todd. They're my guys for life. You're right. That was exciting coming from Coach Adams to Gary Colson. Coach Adams was basically defense. And Coach Adams was basically offense. So how can I say this? With Coach Adams, besides Vegas, you're not scoring over 70 points on us. With Colson, we're going to score 75, 80 points on you, but we might give up 90. So it was a difference of the mentality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It didn't carry over from Coach Adams to Colson on the defense side, but I think it was exciting. I think we made it exciting for Fresno State back in the days because, like I said, you playing UNLV, number one in the nation. Santa Barbara with Brian Shaw and Gary DeHart, they was probably number 10 in the nation. New Mexico State probably 7 or 8 in the nation. Long Beach State had Lucius Harris. So you had that back in them days, Big West had 4 or 5 teams in the top 25, and we played against them every night. So it was rough and tough, you know. But at the same time, you learn, and then you'd be surprised what kind of friendships you get out of it. You know what I'm saying? People still remember you, like, hey man, I played against you. I was like, oh, you remember me? You know. So it was fun back in them days.
Going against UNLV, you mentioned it, right? I mean, that's the era that everybody remembers about Tark and the Runner Rebels, Larry Johnson, Ogman, all those guys. Anderson Hunt, right?
Yes.
What was it like playing against those dudes?
You was playing pros. All five of them were pros. You was playing pros. It was exciting. That's why I said when I sit there and said one day we played in the Big West tournament. Me and Will Hooker walked into the gym after we just upset New Mexico State. They was like number 8th in the nation. I had 8 threes that game. And we just walked in, Larry Johnson and Stacey Ogman getting interviewed by ESPN, getting interviewed, and because they had a game later on that day. And we just came in after the interview. We just sat down. They sit there and say, hey, Dave and Will. And me and Will looked at each other like, they know us? You know, because they number one in the nation. They know they going pros, you know. So that right there felt like we was some team. We was somebody. And that's when we realized, you know, hey, they thinking about us.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? They thinking about us. So, but when we met them in a Big West championship, it was the last game for the NCAAs, live TV, 12:30. We had practice early in the morning, and they got practice. Back then, you only have if people know, you only have about 45 minutes to an hour to practice on the floor because every team got to get in. And Tark practiced the same time we did because he's from Fresno. And he knew each other. He knew, you know, hey, we, Coach Coates is not going to say anything. You know, hey, he came on the court with his players, practiced with us a little bit, you know, and then they took off, you know, because that's our time. And he said, I'm more scared of y'all. And we was up first half, going into halftime. And then they, after that,
the second half, they turned it on.
Yeah.
They turned it up to 10.
They woke up.
They woke up. Dave, we only got another minute with you. This time is absolutely flying by. So your favorite memory of playing back in there in the Celand Arena days was what?
The games like the UNLVs, New Mexico States, the crowd, the Red Wave. Like this year when they had the Red Wave come back to the game, I mean, to that Celand Arena, that was nice. You see how loud it is with 5,000 people. Back in my day, it was 10,000. Picture that. I'm not saying go back to Celand Arena, but it's just loud in there. Say Mark Center is a little bit wider, but the Celand is loud, and that's what I miss about, that's the Red Wave. You don't hear too much about the Red Wave no more. You don't hear about, you know, you hear about the Valley football, Fresno State football, you know, everybody loves football, outside, barbecues, you know, tailgating, but in the 80s, a little bit of 90s when Tark came, it was loud. And that's what I miss about Fresno State, that the crowd, everybody was involved.
Well, Dave, I wish we had more time, man. We could chop it up even more about your days at Edison, at Fresno State. Hey, love seeing you at games. Love hearing your opinion on things, man. I know I could go to you and ask your opinion, and you'd give it to me straight. Yes. Appreciate you.
Yes. Anytime. You want me to call a game with you, I will do that. I'll sit down with you and chop it up and have fun. We can critique the game, and just let me know.
You are a basketball junkie.
Yes,
through and
yes,
through.
Yes.
All right. Appreciate you as always. Hey, thanks for everybody for listening to the show. Thanks to First String Sports. Thanks to Tazelle Archie for coming on the show. Coop Steele, Sadie Sin, Yasmin Aguilar as well. And, of course, Dave Barnett, man. Appreciate you as always. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.